Have you ever had a health diagnosis that has shattered you or changed your world and just really made you rethink things? Welcome to Holistic Hope, the podcast show that uncovers the secrets to health that you've been searching for. I'm your host, Amanda Cuter. My journey started in the early 2000s. I had moved to a different city, trying to make new friends. Actually, I moved to the big city, and I am at heart from the country. I am a country girl. And I started to get really severe anxiety. And I had no idea what was going on with me at the time, as most people could probably relate to what anxiety feels like if you've had the unfortunate pleasure of facing it. And so I couldn't go to my job, and my office was really small. There was me. I had three or four managers at the time. It was just me and them. And they were so supportive. They were actually, like close friends, but I was having a really big problem. And one of the managers at the time, he had a side business, and he was trying to introduce me to these supplements. And I thought that was really interesting because I had gone to the doctor. The doctor wanted to put me on antidepressants, of course. But I did have a huge level of resistance because I didn't want to be on antidepressants, especially back in the early 2000s, where I think anxiety was a bit more taboo back then. And I remember him just assuring me if I took these supplements, things would get better. Now, I grew up watching my dad take a dozen pills for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so I was indoctrinated into the Western Medical Society, where something is sick, you go to the doctor and you get your pills and you get better and away you go. Having this resistance towards wanting to take medication and yet being introduced to these supplements, it really got me thinking. And so I purchased the supplements. They were expensive, I'm not going to lie. But I started to get better. And of course, like anything, you get better, you stop taking it and away you go. I started to learn how to make friends. I saw a psychologist, so I was getting skilled up on how to make friends, and then I started going dancing. I was doing Latin dancing 5, 6, sometimes 7 nights a week. And I was at a school. I was teaching beginners Latin, like salsa, merengue, cha-cha-cha, and it was so much fun. And then from that, I went into a relationship with a guy, and I kind of stopped dancing at that point. But what the next thing that happened in my health journey was I started to put on a lot of weight. Now, obviously, going from dancing 5 to 7 nights a week to being very inactive, the weight gain came on. Even though I was probably eating healthier at the time, my ex-boyfriend really, he didn't love to cook. He wasn't like a fabulous gourmet cook, but he would always have a semi-healthy meal for us, which was your standard, your meat and 3 veg kind of meal. But I was putting on all this weight and I didn't know what to do about it. Then my cousin was getting married and she asked me to be a bridesmaid. And I wanted to lose weight and look great and fabulous for the wedding. So I went and joined one of the very popular mainstream weight loss programs that are out there. I'm not going to name the company. And you would purchase frozen foods, you would heat it up in the microwave, and that was your intake. So I went ahead and I was doing that, and I lost a few kilos. However, I ended up plateauing and I didn't know why. Now for the wedding, I had already lost some weight, which was great. I felt really confident and really beautiful in my bridesmaid dress, but I wanted to continue on this weight loss journey. And also after the wedding, my boyfriend and I broke up. So I found myself single again and back in the dating realm. So of course you need to look your best for all of that. And so I kept going on this, you know, journey of my health and weight loss. And at some point in time within all of that, a friend of my mom's introduced us to a holistic doctor, and he started talking about things that I had never heard about before. Definitely nothing the doctors were talking to me about. And that was gut health and getting me to do a food sensitivity test. I learned that I was gluten-free. Now, when I became single, that was really hard because I always had this assumption that it was more expensive to cook for yourself. And so I would just go to whatever takeout I had the craving for that day on my way home from work, you know, whether it was McDonald's or KFC or Domino's Pizza or Hungry Jack's. I'm grateful. I think at the time I lived in Australia. So we have, you know, a 50th of the amount of food, fast food options than what you do here in America, which is really alarming to me now that I have moved from Australia to Phoenix, Arizona. And so I didn't like to cook. This doctor was talking to me about all these new things I hadn't even heard of before. I found out I was gluten-free, didn't know how to deal with that and process that. And of course, my family are Italian immigrants to Australia. So while living in Australia, if you would have asked me what my nationality is, I would have told you I'm Italian because that's the culture I grew up in. I grew up in Little Italy. I grew up eating homemade pasta and going to Nonna's house with fresh baked bread coming out of the oven. So to tell me I was gluten-free was something that was really hard for me to process. So there was just this constant wave of this health journey that I was going on. And I felt like I would get close to an answer. And then with every foot closer I was coming, felt like I was taking 100 steps backwards. So it was a real big challenge. And especially, you know, you go to the doctor for a diagnosis, but something in my core soul level was telling me, no, that isn't the answer in the treatment. And so I would go to the pharmacy, I would go to the supplement section, I would take a whole heap of supplements. I had iron deficiencies, I had IBS, I had psoriasis on my skin. The weight kept gaining and I didn't know what to do. And I got into essential oils. And a lot of people have this whole big, you know, their own perception of essential oils and what they are and the different types of companies are out there. And if you don't have these perceptions, I'm not going to put them in your head. If you do, hang in with me. The story gets better. And so I was starting to really delve into the oils and be like, okay, how much can I learn about them? Because I went for a technique called the raindrop technique. And it was originally designed for people with scoliosis, but they don't really tell you that. But I found that out through my mom, and my mom was pushing me to get this technique. And I was like resisting. I always loved essential oils, but I'm like, no, mom, they don't do what they say they do. And so I eventually, with her pushing me, I went and had a raindrop technique. And it was the first time in 15 years, since I started having pain from scoliosis, that after the raindrop technique, I was out of pain. Which is incredible. It was amazing. And that's how much I fell in love with this modality. So I was a broke travel agent at the time. And so I would go as often as my paycheck would allow me to. And then I thought, okay, I need to continue on this healing path. And so my mom was sending me essential oils. You know, I didn't know how to use them for myself, but I was going to my practitioner sessions. And then that day where I got the most dreaded call that my dad was in hospital and I needed to fly up to go see him. I lived a 2-hour flight away. I was in Brisbane, Queensland. He lived in Cairns. And I was at work and I told my colleagues, oh, my uncle called me about my dad again. He's in hospital. You know, maybe I'll fly up after work. Maybe tomorrow. It was a Friday morning. And my colleagues were kind of shocked. They were like, your dad's in hospital. Go. And I thought, yeah, I've had this call before. You know, my dad had 2 kidney transplants. Getting a call that he was in hospital wasn't new to me. They insisted that I went. So, and our boss wasn't in the office at the time. So I called him up and I said, you know, my dad's in hospital. Is it okay if I, you know, fly to Cairns tonight and go see him? My boss said, okay. So I went home and you're working in a travel agency. So I went home to pack my bag. And by the time I finished packing my bag, my colleagues texted me with the flight they booked me on. So they had everything ready for me. My mom had the details. So she was ready to pick me up from the airport. And she took me straight from the airport to the hospital. Now, the visitors' hours had closed by the time I arrived, but they gave my mom special permission to bring me into the hospital. So I went there and my dad was coherent and he was confused why I was there. And I'm like, hey, Dad, I just came to see you and say hi and tell you that I love you. And he's like, oh, kid, you didn't need to do that. I'll be fine. I'm like, okay, Dad. And so we spoke to the doctors and my mom lived an hour away and my 2 cats lived with her. So I asked the doctors, you know, is it okay if we go back and go stay at my mom's place tonight and get her a change of clothes and so I can go see my cats? The doctor said, that's fine. Just be back in the morning. The next morning, we weren't really in a hurry to get our day started, and we get a call from the hospital asking where we were. I said, oh, well, we're still at my mom's place. And they said, no, you need to get down here now. We quickly packed up and got ourselves ready and drove an hour back to Cairns. And the doctor sat me, my brother, my mom down and said that they're putting my father into palliative care. You might know it as hospice. And at that time, I had never heard the term palliative care before. That shook my world. And I was really struggling to comprehend it. I thought, what do you mean you're not going to give my dad another pill and just make him better? They had been doing that my whole life. I think my dad's first kidney transplant was in 1985, so I was 2 years old. And so many times throughout my life, the doctors had said, you know, my dad has a 50-50% chance of living. And every time my dad outlived what the doctors said. But not this time. And it really shook me up. They moved my dad into a room on his own and my large Italian family came flooding in to say goodbye to my dad. And I wasn't going to leave his side that day at all. And around dinner time, my auntie was a little bit worried about me and she insisted that I go and have dinner and that my mom take me and go get some dinner. So against my wishes, my mom took me out of the hospital and we went and had, we went and lined up for dinner, the restaurant you lined up to order your dinner. And so we were lining up and I could hear the fireworks go off. That day in Cairns was the Fun and the Sun Festival, for anyone familiar with that region. And it was about 7:30. And while I was in the restaurant, we could hear the fireworks go off. And you know, I had a smile on my face because my dad really loved fireworks. He would always take us to different fireworks show as much as he could. And we were lining up, waiting for dinner. It was a really busy night. You know, everybody is out. You're for a small city, a big town. Everyone comes out that day. And so the restaurant was very busy. We were lining up and I get a phone call from my auntie and she said, "Amanda, you can come back now. Your dad passed away." So Mum and I didn't even bother ordering dinner. We just left the restaurant. I was trying to call my brother. I couldn't reach him. He went out to have a break from the hospital as well. He went out with his friends to, you know, participate in some of the festival activities. And I got to the hospital and my auntie told me that my dad passed away at 7:30 or like a minute or two past. And what had happened was, in my belief, was my dad didn't have a really good view or didn't have a view of the fireworks from his hospital bed. So he exited at that moment and he had the best view in the whole entire city. And that's what gives me peace, thinking about that. So that was a really horrible week. As you know, when somebody passes and you're trying to plan a service to celebrate their life, pack up his apartment, he lived by himself, and do all of these things. During the whole entire week of that, my mom was dousing me in essential oil, like lavender and blends called Peace and Calming and Stress Away, which I still have on my desk right here in front of me. What I noticed by the end of the week was a few things. One was I didn't get a cold or flu. Now, usually I had such a poor immune system that being in that state meant that any emotional disruption to me would meant that I would have a cold or flu. And so I didn't have that. Secondly, I was able to sleep at night. You know, when you have that many things going on, I'm sure you can contest this yourself if you've been through the passing of someone close to you, that you really don't get a good night's sleep. And so I was able to get a good night's sleep, which meant I was able to wake up the next morning with the clear head and know on point and on task what I had to get done, because I only had a week to get done. You know, I didn't have much vacation time. So that all happened, and then I didn't have a nervous breakdown and my anxiety was kept at bay, and I thought this was quite amazing. After my dad's celebration of life service, I said to my mum, "I think there is more to these oils than what you can explain. This brand was different. This was different to anything else I had tried." And she said, yes. And we found out that back in the city where I was living in Brisbane, there was a one-day event on just oils and oils-infused supplements. I said to Mum, "I think I need to go to that event." And she agreed. So we booked my flight to go back. You know, my cousin was getting married on the Saturday and I wasn't originally going to the wedding. But my auntie, you know, asked me, "Why you're here? You can take your dad's place at the wedding." And I thanked her, told her I loved her, but told her I really wasn't in a celebratory mood, but I loved them all. And so I flew back home. I called up my mom's friend who lived in the same city with me, and I asked her, "You know, could you please take me to this event? I didn't feel like I had the strength to go on my own." And she was delighted to take me. So we went, and we were both blown away by the information we learned that day. I was taking pages of notes. I walked away with a new health plan, and I was excited to give this a try now that I could work out how to use these for myself. So after that event, and after I got my starter pack of oils, I started going to every essential oil event I could possibly find in my city. There was one particular night I went to an event, and there was an international speaker from Canada. I'll never forget this night. His name is Tom Woloshin. I've since become friends with him. And Tom gets on stage, and I'm expecting him to talk about essential oils. And he was talking about a 10-day liquid detox. And I was really confused. I thought, did I sign up for the wrong event? Like, what is going on? Why are we not learning about oils? And why is he talking about a 10-day liquid detox? But I was really intrigued to hear what he had to say, because he started talking about parasites and the gut health and all these things that I was learning from the holistic doctor. And he was talking about weight loss and resetting your body. And so I thought, this is super interesting. I ended up getting a private personal appointment with Tom on the Friday. I had a roster day off from work. And I said to him, I'm intrigued about this detox, but I don't know if it's for me or if I can do it. And he was having a masterclass on the Master Cleanse that night. And he said, well, come along to the class. And I thought about it. I said I'd get back to him. So I felt really good from the session I had with him during that day. He was using oils and doing like Tibetan ancient reflexology on me, which is another modality I have since learned. And I went along to the Master Cleanse that night, and people were asking really intelligent questions. Like, I felt super dumb, I'm not gonna lie. And I wrote down again as many notes as I could comprehend at the time. And this was on a Friday night. The next morning, I walked into a health food shop and I went, I need organic lemons. I need maple syrup and cayenne pepper. Folks, I've never at this stage had bought pure maple syrup before, or even, I didn't even know what cayenne pepper was. I've learned a lot about cayenne pepper since. And I said to the lady, oh, you're going to get an influx of people that are going to come in and want to do this 10-day liquid detox, because there was a lot of people at this class last night and it was amazing. And, don't be surprised if you're going to get an influx of all these people coming in. And I think I was probably the only one in that area. I went home and I started doing the Master Cleanse's drink, and it wasn't bad. I was definitely having to modify and experiment with the level of cayenne pepper, because I, traditionally have not liked spicy foods. And so I was doing the cleanse that day. And then by the evening, I opened up a packet of potato chips and I had failed. I had absolutely failed on the Master Cleanse. I looked at my calendar and I had a work Christmas party coming up in a couple of weeks' time. And I thought, if I start on Sunday and if I am completely successful to maintain this Master Cleanse and get this done all the way through, by the Friday night, I will have eaten my first real meal again. And on the Saturday, I will be in good form to go to my work Christmas party, feeling great, looking great. And so I did. I started again on the Sunday and I was absolutely successful all the way through. I had a great time at the Christmas party on the Saturday. Note to self, excessive alcohol after a cleanse isn't a good idea, but hey, I was learning. And while I was on the Master Cleanse, I thought, oh my God, I never want to do this again. I was feeling great. Like I had more energy than what I knew what to do with. My house was so clean. I had more energy than what I did as a teenager, and mental clarity I didn't even know existed. So I thought this was great, but I never want to do it again. So while I was in the Master Cleanse and while I wasn't, you know, trying to work out how to cook or eating, you know, horrible processed foods, because Tom educated us about clean eating that night at the cleanse and what to do when you come off it. So I went through a whole bunch of recipe books I had at home and I started going through ingredients and learning how to do all of this, and went, okay, I'm going to put a meal plan together and I'm going to like eat really healthy from here on out. I'm going to home cook. I'm no longer going to eat at McDonald's or KFC. And fun fact, that Friday night after the Master Cleanse, I hadn't eaten dinner before I went to the class. And so on my way home, I grabbed a Happy Meal from McDonald's. And that was the very last time I'd eaten McDonald's. And that was in, let's see, I think that was in October 2012. And I'm recording this podcast in March 2024. So it's been 12 years since I've eaten any processed food from those fast food chains. So it's just been a journey ever since then. I was losing really weight. I went on the paleo diet. I thought I can eat meat and vegetables and fruit. That worked for me. I loved my fruit, especially in Australia where we have real tasting fruit. I was doing really great, you know, and every once a year I do the Master Cleanse, I kept doing it because, you know, different things, we come up in different seasons, right? We cannot 100% control our environment, the foods we eat, everything. There's so much to always have to try and control for our environment. So once a year I did the Master Cleanse as a maintenance. And then in 2019, I moved to America and experienced a whole nother level of health challenges. So in 2019, I took 9 international flights that year between America and Australia, and getting together with my now husband and coming here and getting married, to then have a Hashimoto's flare up, to then going back to Australia at Christmas time because I really wanted to see my friends and my doctor and I was getting depressed and it was horrible, and a whole new level of health awareness had to come into my life. So I've been on this health journey now for a good 12 dedicated years when I really started to explore real holistic health. You know, different forms and methods had come into my life prior, but I think since 2012, and then I became a health coach in 2013. I also became a practitioner of the raindrop technique. I also practice another modality called the Egyptian Emotional Clearing Technique. So I'm all about our thoughts, what we're thinking. If you know anything about Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life, or Bruce Lipton's Epigenetics, what we think manifests into our reality, and that can be the good or the bad. And so I love delving into ancient secrets, new research that comes on. I love collaborating with people. I like to meet people where they are and take them on a next level journey and help support them and guide them. So that's what you're going to hear from this podcast on the Holistic Hope Show. Is my wish and goal is to give you hope in your healing journey. And I remember hearing somebody say one day that healing is a verb. We are always healing. We are never healed. And when I heard that, I thought, wow, that is very powerful. So I'm always healing. No one has this 100% perfect or right. We go through seasons of change. And just when you think you've got it right, the universe is going to come back and test you again and go, nope, try again. How much do you really want this? And I feel like I've been tested a lot of times. And so I did mention my dad had passed away, but what's also is heartbreaking is I've lost my brother through suicide, and I have lost my mom from a heart attack. And we were treating my mom holistically for breast cancer. We actually helped her heal naturally from breast cancer, but nobody looked at her heart. But my mom always said she had a broken heart from when we lost my brother. And this is why I wanted to start this podcast and show people that there is a different way. And be really careful of your words, because your words are powerful. So over this course of this podcast show, you're going to hear from so many different people. I'm going to be interviewing people. I'll be doing solo shows and taking you on my health journey as well. The show here is to entertain, educate. I am not a doctor. I will not diagnose, treat, or cure. But we're going to have some fascinating conversations that I really hope that you can come on board and really enjoy the journey with us. Until next time, stay well.